Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Nancy C., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And today is Tuesday, April 15th, 19 or 2025. And we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 90, the fourth paragraph. And today's readers are, and thank you for your service, on the 12 steps, we have Michelle J. On the traditions, Barbara P. The reader of the text is Marge O. 164 is Susan S.H. and Rena L. is our backup. And the moderator for the second hour is Christine G. And the newcomer greeter is Loretta M. So thanks everyone for your service. The reference numbers for yesterday, let me give you those. The 7 a.m. Meeting April 14th is 22,341. That's 22341. And the 10 a.m. meeting is 22,342. That's 22342. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Michelle J. to please read the 12 steps for us. Good morning, Michelle.
Morning, family. Michelle J. from Texas. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, have spiritual awakening. As a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thanks, Michelle. And reading the 12 traditions this morning is Barbara P. Barbara.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Barbara P., recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of OA. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thanks, Barbara. Appreciate everyone reading today. And how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read, and we are sharing with what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. And in order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 90, the fourth paragraph. And I'm going to ask Marge O to please lead us off this morning. Marge, share with us.
Good morning, all. Marge O from Massachusetts, grateful recovered overeater. If he does not want to see you, never force yourself upon him. Neither should the family hysterically plead with him to do anything, nor should they tell him much about you. They should wait for the end of this next drinking bout. You might place this book where he can see it in the interval. Here, no specific rule can be given. The family must decide these things, but urge them not to be over-anxious, for that might spoil matters. So I was reading this paragraph last night a little bit before I went to bed, and I thought, if I'm a reader tomorrow, and I wasn't sure, what will I say about this? Because I found from the beginning of going to Overeaters Anonymous, most of the people did not particularly want to share with their family that they were going to Overeaters Anonymous or a 12-step program. They often came, and we really followed the rule of anonymity to the letter of the law, and that they weren't even sure they belonged there, but it was for them a strong association with AA, and so they carried a certain amount of, you know, shame and embarrassment. And I used to go to OA 3 times a week, and if I couldn't make it, I went to the local AA meeting, and I didn't particularly feel embarrassed or shameful. I felt nothing but relief when I came to OA, when I realized that it wasn't something particularly inherently wrong with me. It's just that I needed to learn more about how to put the food down, how to depend on a higher power, because that's what was missing. I could follow all these diets, and you want to call me and ask me how many different ones? I could probably name at least 12, and I was only in my 30s when I came here, and I'm 79 now, but I had tried a lot of diets, all the magazine diets and whatnot. But back to the person, when the person would, you know, when I would approach somebody about coming, and I approached a fair amount of people, to be honest with you, and they'd come to a meeting or two and fade away, and in the beginning I thought that was my failure, but I came to nope, that's just about the person. They can't accept, or they're not ready, or maybe they didn't belong here. You know, just because someone's overweight doesn't necessarily mean they're a compulsive overeater. So a meeting at a time, I learned more and more about myself and more about this book and also just the program in general and what I had to have. But the step 12, that's what I had to keep doing, is telling people about the program. And some people came and were really excited and stayed, and some didn't. And I just believe that as long as I stayed and I kept living and working these 12 steps, I would be okay. And that has been the case through thick and thin and, you know, loss and all kinds of things that happen in big families, including burying my own husband after 5 years of, you know, fighting esophageal cancer. I'm okay a day at a time. I don't have to go to the table or the freezer or anywhere else for my food. I just have to keep coming to visions. So with that, I will pass, and thank you.
Thank you, Marjo, for getting us started today. So it's now time to take a list of names of people who want to share their experience, strength, and hope with this paragraph. And I'll remind the group that we are a big group. So if you have shared in the last 2 days, so that would be Monday or Friday of last week, please step back and let others step up and let their voices be heard. So who would like to share on this paragraph today? Press star one.
Christina L.
Christina.
Bonnie B.
Bonnie B. Great time to raise your hands, guys. There's plenty of time today. Good time to press star one.
Sheila S.
Sheila S. All right, well, let's start with these three. We got a trifecta. Let's start with Christina L., followed by Bonnie B., and then Sheila S. And if you'd tell us where you're calling from, Christina, you have the floor.
Awesome. Thanks so much for your service, Nancy. Good morning, everyone. Christina L. from Florida. And I wasn't sure what I was going to say on this paragraph either. What did come up for me this morning was this does not – oh, wait, hang on. I don't have my glasses on. If he does not want to see you, never force yourself upon him. And it reminded me, it brought me back to – the very first time I came to OA, at least I'm assuming it was OA, I don't remember much about it, but the memory of it came back when a couple of years ago, and I was somewhere between the ages of 18 and 23, and I did not have a relationship with God at that point. And I believe what happened was I heard, turn your life and your will over to God and put down your binge and trigger foods, or it was probably said as sugar and flour back then, I'm guessing. And I thought, these people are crazy, and I never darkened the door of OA for probably a good 17 to 20 years. So I was not able to be able to receive what was being on. And nobody forced me. Nobody forced anything on me. And I'm grateful for that. It wasn't until I came back on my own. Now, looking at this, you know, I don't have any contact with a family before talking to someone who may be a potential sponsee or anything like that. But someone had shared the other day that, you know, when people who know that, you know, what we're doing, that they may ask, like, can you talk to a family member of theirs and stuff like that. And that was, like, really enlightening because that has happened to me. But really, what I do, they probably wouldn't be able to do. And sorry, I feel like I'm all over the place. I can't read without my glasses. And I'm like, I know there was something else I wanted to say. Oh, here it is. But urge them not to be over anxious, for that might spoil matters. The family must decide these these things, but urge them not to be over anxious, for that might spoil matters. You know, what came up for me with that line was, you know, that applies to me today. You know, I'm looking for a sponsee. I just went through the steps again, and I'm looking for a sponsee. And there's a part of me that is feeling over anxious about finding a sponsee because I can't keep I can't keep it unless I give it away and stuff. And so I'm just taking that with me to just relax and just know that God's got it. And I'm praying for the sponsee that, you know, God is supposed to lead to me. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Hey, thanks, Christina L. for pressing star one. And next up, we have Bonnie B. from Florida. Bonnie, please share with us, and you'll be followed by Sheila F.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks, Nancy. Bonnie B. from Florida, recovered by the grace of God. I pushed star one because it was so silent also. Like, oh, my word. So this is what was going on. This is what I was thinking about when this paragraph was read this morning. No one really cares what I say. I used to think people cared what I said. People don't care what I say. It's how I show up. And so when I think about like sharing my program with people, it's really not what I say. It's more of like showing up differently than I used to show up. And then if someone asks about it, again, sprinkling the salt versus like opening the salt container and dumping it on them. I heard someone say once, and I loved it, people don't want to hear a sermon, they want to see a sermon. And so when it comes to outside influence, and I, you know, this paragraph was talking about don't force yourself on him, and it's a family that wants that person to be healed or, you know, helped or whatever. I never like to be pressed at any state in my life. I mean, I might have known deep down I needed to make changes, but if I felt like there was outside pressure, you were putting me into a corner and I was going to come out swinging. And so, again, with my program, my heart's cry on a daily basis is live it. Help me to live it. And how do I live it? By loving people exactly where they're at. I was talking with a dear fellow yesterday, and I had shared with her, the only desire I have in this program is to make people feel loved. I want people to know that they are accepted exactly where they're at. Because if I hadn't been accepted, I wouldn't have come back after every single pickup. I mean, again, we know the big book says if God doesn't do it, it's not going to be done. And when the student is ready, the teacher shows up. And so it's yes, I play a part, but it's a really, really, really small part. And it's more about just living recovered. Not preaching recovery, but living recovered. And then studying the big book so that when you have a chance to talk with someone, I can actually bounce around in the big book because it's the big book that does the teaching, not me. And so grateful for the fact that I don't have to perform. I just get to live recovered and trust God that he's going to do all the rest and encourage the outside people to do the same thing. Maybe pressure's off us. So I think with that, I'll pass. And once again, thanks, everyone. Bonnie B. from Florida. Blessings.
Thanks for pressing star one, Bonnie, and thank you for that share. And next up, we have Sheila F. And if you could tell us where you're coming from, that would be great. And then we're going to take another lineup, so get ready to press that star one button. Sheila?
Hi, this is Sheila S., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in upstate New York. And, I just wanted to share a little on this. I could really relate to the first two shares about being over-anxious. You know, really comes from a good place, wanting the best for somebody that is interested in the program or excited to share, you know, recovery and to be of service. So it's pretty understandable. But one thing I've noticed in me and many fellows is that it is a process. I often think about it as planting seeds by just showing up, being present in a recovered way and talking openly about program. When I first came into the room, I ran away. it was a little bit of a shock just to be accepted, to see people so loving, to have that kind of, you know, genuine authentic connection was overwhelming to me. That's not something I experienced anywhere else, but it scared me in a way. But the seed was planted because I came back too, and eventually stayed. And I feel like a lot of sponsees that I've worked with, you know, I've seen amazing things. Some people are excited and they jump in, and other people try and then they go away. But then all of a sudden on a 10-step train, I'm connected with a sponsee that went back out and she's been recovered for 2 years. So, you know, it's like, you know, seeds are being planted, and that gentle, loving acceptance of, like Bonnie said, we're accepting people where they are. You know, there's something I had never felt before and never really learned to offer. And I think that peaceful approach and letting our recovery and our higher powers do the work. So, yeah, just wanted to share all that. And thanks, everyone, for service.
Thanks, Sheila S. Appreciate you. And she's from New York. And we're ready to take another list of names. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Anayeta R.
Anayeta.
Kelsey R.
Kelsey.
Jackie W.
Jackie W.
Jeannie B.
Jeannie B. All right, let's go with this group. Anayeta, Kelsey,
Florida.
And was that Bianca?
Yes.
Blanca? Okay. All right, so we're going to go with Honey, Kelsey R., Jackie W., Jeannie B., and Blanca BG from Florida. And then we'll take another list of names. And if you're not Anayeta, please press star 1 to mute yourself. And Anayeta, you have the floor.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Thanks for your service. Good to be here. I feel like I haven't been here forever, and I only missed 2 days, you know. But anyway, in the middle of Passover, and I just can't believe that I went, you know, all that time with no phone calls, no meetings, and thank you, God, you know, I did fine. I think I said I was from Texas, and I am recovered compulsive overeater. You know, I was sitting here thinking, I don't have anything to say about this. You know, what am I going to say? And then I'm like, oh, wait, yes, you do. I had a family member call me about 3 months ago and say, you know, so-and-so really needs this program, and I want you to talk to her. And I said, you know, I'd be glad to talk to her, but, you know, she would have to call me. If she can't really pick up the phone, then I'll call her. But, you know, I think that sometimes people are too afraid to make that first phone call, and I don't mind doing that. Because Bill Wilson did go out and find other people. He did make the phone calls. He did go out and look for people. So I don't mind doing that. If the person has enough courage to call me, then I just think that's a little bit better. But anyway, so I ended up talking to this little gal, and lo and behold, I did become her sponsor, and by the grace of God and her willingness, she's been abstinent for over 2 months, amazing. But one of the things I did have to do, though, I had to tell the person, the relative, that I can never discuss her with her, you know, and I had to be very careful of anonymity and not to, you know, even say, oh, she's doing really well. I can't do that. You know, I can't, even though I want to and I know that she wants to know, it's really up to the person to tell the relative, you know. And I have to say that they're together this week because one lives, anyway, they live far apart, but they're together for the Passover holiday. And so, of course, she's going to know how she's doing now. But it wasn't up to me to do that. It wasn't up to me once the connection was made to reveal things that are going on with her to the relative. It was up to the sponsee. Thank you, sweetheart. It was up to the sponsee to tell if she wanted to. Thank you, everybody. Don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. Love you all. Have a wonderful day. And if you're celebrating Passover, have a great rest of Passover. Thanks a lot.
Hey, that was Hanayeta R. from Texas. And next up, we have Kelsey R. from, where are you calling from, Kelsey? And you have the floor.
Hey, Nancy, thanks. Hey, this is Kelsey R. in Texas as well. You know, I just had this experience yesterday with my children's nanny. You know, she sees the big book all around my house, and I had offered to give her some of the meal that my husband had made the day before because I don't eat it. And she had made comments about her husband's eating again. And all I said to her was, she had made comments about, like, how he just isn't willing or isn't making the choice to, like, make the change. And I was just able to explain the fact that, like, if he is an addict, like, it has nothing to do with choice, right? Like, it has nothing to do with if he would stop if he could, like, if he is an addict. And I was just able to share with her, like, the doctor's opinion. And I sent her that chapter, and more importantly, I sent her the chapter Two Wives. And when I sent it, I specifically told her that, you know, this is very important to remember. This is a self-diagnosis illness, right? No one can diagnose someone else. And she asked if she could say something to him about it. And I said, no, I wouldn't. If he brings it up, like, you could just support him and, you know, but, you know, we saw him at my children's baseball game on Saturday, and he's a cancer survivor, and just recently, and so am I. And he asked me the question, like, does it get better? Like, how long until you, like, you know, received your strength, like your normal strength back? And to be honest, it took like 6 months, and he didn't like to hear that. But now, like, the door has been opened, because not only did it take 6 months, but, like, I had to embrace the steps. I had to, you know, restore that relationship with God. And so, like, the door has been opened, and, you know, if the door opens again, it's just, I have something to share, and it's very important to educate the family on of addiction, and that it's not something that we want or that we choose, but there is a solution if the person wants to stop and if they're interested in doing the work. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Kelsey R. from Texas. And next we have Jackie W. If you could tell us where you're calling from, that would be great. And a reminder to everyone, if you're not speaking, please press star 1 to mute your phone so we have a quiet line. Jackie, you're up.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I'm Jackie W. in New Jersey. And as the show is going on this morning, what's coming up for me is how grateful I am with the gentleness that I see suggested in the Vision Program for people. That's invaluable to me because before I got recovered, it was a journey that I mean, dozens of people. I went through dozens of people. And eventually it was my time to recover, and that did happen by the grace of God. But it did take a long time, but people were gentle to me, and they were kind with me. And I felt like when the willingness finally was there, I could go back to those people, and I could ask for help or suggestions or guidance. And that's wonderful. That's not at all what I received the 30 years prior in my Rules and Tools OA program. So in the Rules and Tools OA program that I belonged to prior, if a person had a problem, they were immediately cut off and shunned from the group. And if you know, your sponsor was your God and your weight was your God. And I'm so grateful that I was offered an alternative here that is actually the truth of what the program was written for, because it's what I needed to recover. as the level of compulsive eater that I am, it was what I needed, and I couldn't do it with rules and tools. I needed the spiritual solution, and the spiritual solution was given to me with gentleness. And I believe if it was crammed down my throat or given to me with, it was, you know, anything other than gentleness, I might have walked away, and I don't know where I would have been. So I'm so thankful for that gentle approach. It's an approach I can use for people because I don't know when where I am in their string of recovery. I don't know where I am in that journey. I could be planting a seed. I could be in the middle of the seed growing, or I could be in the harvest portion. And I've been in that area with people, all different areas. I've been in where people aren't ready. I've been where people are struggling because they want it but not enough. And I've been where people are flourishing and recovering. So it is, I don't know where I am in the journey, but I can present gentleness and kindness and keep an open door for people. So I'm thankful that was given to me, and I appreciate the service today. Thanks, everybody.
That was Jackie W. from Florida, or from New Jersey. And next up we have Jeannie B. She's from Florida. Jeannie, you have the floor. Please share with us.
Good morning, Nancy. Good morning, everyone. This is Jeannie B., a recovered compulsive overeater from Florida. Yesterday, I went to the doctor. I walked in to the young man who was checking me in, and I said, there was a man in your seat, a young man like you, a little over 3 years ago, who changed my life. And he said, really? I was like, yeah. I am a food addict, and this young man, as I jokingly, sarcastically did a little stand-up comic act about how everything was a single serving for me, almost like looking for applause, looking for the laughter, not even almost, that's what I was doing. Instead, he looked at me with a warm smile, and like this paragraph says, he laid out the book and walked away. And his way of doing that was to say, have you ever heard of OA? I said, no, I've heard of AA, but what is that? And he went on to just say, it's like AA, but for food, and there is a website with 15 questions, and you can decide for yourself, and then there are meetings on there, should you decide that this is for you. He was thin, he was not an addict, but he was in the addiction world enough to guide me. What I take from that is we never know when we're touching someone's lives. I said that to that man yesterday. I said, you never know whose life you're going to touch and when. Trying to be just the right sponsor, just the right sponsee, that's not it for me. Trying to be kind, be open, and be available to the guidance of my higher power, available and listening when there's that nudge. That's what I want to be. That's what I want to be increasingly, more and more advancing my spiritual life. And that's why I show up here every day. And that's why I keep the food down. Being recovered in terms of my physical addiction is one thing, and that's great. I mean, it's amazing. But this other thing, that's a whole other thing. That's a whole other life. And I'm grateful to be journeying in it and toward it and increasing it. And I'm so grateful for all of you because you keep me here and you keep me sober. Thank you very much. I pass.
Thank you, Jeannie B. from Florida. And next up we have Blanca BG, and then we're going to be taking another list of names, so get ready to press star one. Blanca, can you please tell us where you're calling from? Blanca, press star one.
I'm sorry, this is Blanca BG from Central Florida.
There you go.
Thank you for your service. This is Blanca, recovered, not cured. I as well didn't think I had anything to say about this particular paragraph, but then I thought, oh, yes, I do as well. And I remember that about 2 years ago, I went to visit a friend in upstate New York. I hadn't seen her in about 10 years. And I felt so happy that we had reconnected and we made arrangements and I went to visit her. And we had spoken a few times, you know, from that time until I went to visit her. We were on the phone and planning the trip. Well, I got there and was very shocked and sad to find out after a couple of days that her entire family were in addiction, were deep into addiction, including my friend. And I had no idea of this, of course. Why would it even come up, you know? But she was, you know, she was doing a drug of her choice pretty much every day. Both of her sons were, one of them was a drug addict, the other one was an alcoholic, and her son as well. I mean, I'm sorry, her husband as well. Because when I got there, her husband hid most of the time. I didn't see him much. And when I did see her, son also still lived with her. One of them was living with her, and he kind of hid out too. I didn't see him much. And then the first night I was there, we had all had dinner together, and it was very obvious to me what was going on. So my first feeling was to run away, to leave. I thought, I'm an addict. I can't stay in this house with all of these addicts. It's just not, this isn't going to, you know, this is terrible for me. And I was going to go. I was going to give them some excuse about, well, I have to go. And then I thought, I don't know what happened, but I thought, no, you know, I don't know. Maybe I don't know if I thought of the big book. I thought about that we're spreading the message. And but I thought, how do I even begin to bring up, what do I do? But I stayed. And sure enough, one night she says to me, Blanca, are you still in OA? And that was it. And that was my sign. That was, I knew that was my moment to share my experience. She asked, so I told her. I said, yes, I'm still in OA, and what it had done for me and how far I had come. And I felt so good about that. And I ended up having a very nice trip. I didn't push. I didn't, you know, try to, you know, reform them or get them to sign on. She asked, I told her, and she listened. And I had a wonderful rest of the trip, and felt good about the fact that I didn't run away, that I stayed. And I have spoken to her since, and she's told me some great things. Am I responsible for that? I don't know, but it was a great moment, and I'm glad I didn't leave. I'm glad I didn't run away, and on that I'll pass.
Thank you, Blanca BG, and we're ready to take another list of names, and let me tell people who got on the line late, we are on page 90, the fourth paragraph, starting with, if he doesn't want to see you. Who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Anna S.
Anna S. We have plenty of time.
It was Elizabeth D.
Elizabeth D.
Lucy B.
Nancy P. Lucy
Kathy
B.
J.
Nancy P.
Kathy J.
All right. I think that might take us to the end. So let's thank you, everyone, for stepping up. I've got Anna S., Elizabeth D., Lucy P., Nancy P., Kathy J. Anna S., please press star 1 and share with us and tell us where you're calling from, please.
Thank you. Anna S. from Kenosha, Wisconsin. So I didn't think I had anything to share on this either. And then I realized, my goodness, I wasn't going to get any of this until I was ready. You know, I got 5 months of continuous sobriety, but I've been in this program a year and a half, you know, and I hear all kinds of timelines. I hear, oh, it's going to take a year and a half to get through the steps. I hear it's 2 weeks to get through the steps. Nope. You are not going to get through these steps until you're good and ready, until you, your higher power and all that stuff comes into alignment. There is no right or wrong way to slice a peach. You know, you just, you got to do it in its time. And I have a whole horde of family members who I'm saving seats for in this program. And I would love to, you know, say, sit down. You got to come to the program, sit down, listen. But they're not going to do that. That's not their way. They don't do that. You know, and so what I do is, I work my program. And by example, they're like, what are you doing? You look great. What have you done? And it's like, well, I've lost 50 pounds. You know, and if they want to know more, they can ask more. You know, but that's the only thing. We're a program of attraction, you know. We're a program of attraction. When we do the work, we speak a different language. You know, we speak, as I was speaking at a meeting last night, we speak this language of the heart where we're speaking our truth. And you're not going to do that before you're ready. No one's going to do that before they're ready. Everyone's going to do it in their time, and that's okay. And, you know, and so I just keep praying for my family members, you know, because I became a compulsive overeater, like they're compulsive overeaters. You know, I got family members. I got an uncle and mom and dad, and who knows who else. And they're in the food, and then they exercise, and they'll get up. My dad, since I was a little girl, would get up at 4 a.m. and exercise for 2 hours a day. He's been exercising for 2 hours a day for the last, gosh, how old am I? The last 30 years at least. And he's still not a skinny person, okay? And he eats really well during the day, and he binges all night on garbage and butter, you know. So I know I'm saving a seat for him, but I can't pull him by the ear to bring him here. But I have perked up his ears and attention because I've lost 50 pounds. And, you know, for us addicts, sometimes weight is the only thing that matters. Weight's how we judge success. It doesn't matter how much I've done, how hard I've worked in my life, on my art, on my work, on getting degrees. Those are great, but all that really matters is, are you skinny? You know, are you skinny?
Gentle reminder.
And you know, you're just going to get it in your own time, and that's all I got to say on that. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Anna S. from Wisconsin. And next up, we have Elizabeth D. Elizabeth, please share with us and tell us where you're calling from this morning.
Good morning. My name is Elizabeth D. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Boston area. When I heard this read, I thought, wonder if it's going to be hard for our wonderful host to find people to share on this, because our program is the program where, you know, often the family isn't involved. But as the shares have gone on, I realize, wow, I really do relate to this, because I have a niece, and a sister, and a niece, and a sister-in-law, all of whom struggle with their weight. And, you know, I watch the way they eat and drink. And, you know, this is a self-diagnosis program, but of course, I'm watching them have health problems, and sometimes I just really want to talk about what I do, but they see what I do. You know, I came from a rules and tools program originally in OA, and that kind of got me, I got very disciplined about my food, and I'm still very disciplined about my food, and that's what they see. Of course, I don't work the program rules and tools anymore. I realized through bitter experience and lots of relapses that this has to be, you know, there is a physical aspect of this disease, of course, and it manifests in me of eating up my way up to 265 pounds. And now I'm 140. So, you know, I know how to work the physical program. But in order to stay out of relapse, boy, oh boy, I have to be working the spiritual program every single day. And those, my relatives who are struggling with their weight, all they see is how disciplined I eat. And so there are times when I really want to talk about it. But here's the thing, I've decided, you know, that it's really about, they have to ask me about this. I can't press this on them. And of course I'm worried about their health, and my niece wants to be a mother, and, you know, I'm very worried about her health. She's 30 years old, and she's morbidly obese and wants to have a child, and it's very painful for me to watch. But I can't do anything. This is in her, this is in God's hands. And I am not going to, I read this book, take it very seriously, that I can't push this in her face or her defenses are going to come up. And she's going to say, well, I can't eat the way you eat. And, you know,
mental reminder.
I can't go there. Anyway, I've been all over the map, but I just want to claim my seat and share how grateful I am to at least know that I'm a compulsive overeater and to have found the solution. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Elizabeth D. from Massachusetts, and thanks for stepping up this morning. By Nancy P. and then Kathy J. and Lucy, if you could tell us where you're calling from, that would be swell. Lucy, press star one.
I'm Florida.
Hey, Lucy.
So considering the paragraphs that precede this one, I feel like this paragraph is about, you know, not burning the bridge, about preserving the best possible moment to approach the addict. So, you know, we have to remain patient, which can be so hard. You know, it says we leave the big book where they might find it and they might become curious in their own time. I feel like the whole idea here is to allow higher power to bring the circumstances kind of into grace. You know, this prevents us and the family from becoming controlling or manipulative. You know, we want to make things happen. We want to help people. But sometimes we just have to let, we just have to allow things to happen. You know, we have to allow an opening for the right moment. My faith in higher power reminds me that I'm not in charge. You know, I'm not in charge of this circumstance, and I'm not in charge of how someone might find the program, that my higher power is in charge. And I just have to trust and be patient and let it happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Lucy P. from Florida. Nancy P., the floor is yours. And Nancy is from Massachusetts.
Yes, that's me, although I'm currently in Connecticut. Anyways, I've been completely inspired by all the shares. For everybody says, geez, I didn't know what I was going to say, but everybody, I talked because it was quiet. I didn't know what I was going to say, or I didn't feel inspired to share in the beginning, but everybody's shares were so amazing that I felt like I got to put my two cents in. And what I think about this is what I was told by my sponsor that I got when I wanted to get better. And Vision for You, my sponsor, was she wasn't friendly. She wasn't especially kind, but she was an excellent sponsor, and she knew the book inside out. And among other things I learned from her, she told me, don't ever compromise with a sponsee. Don't ever cut them any slack. What if they don't like me? Well, you got to put up with that. What if they dump me? She said, you know, they come, people will know who I mean when I say this. They come by the hundreds and they leave by the 99. I mean, it's not my responsibility if people want to get better. And, you know, and that has become like a spiritual experience for me. I have felt the most serene, not so much when sponsees dump me or whatever, but, you know, my goal in life is to be a riverbed, and I want my life to flow over me, and I tell my sponsees that, you know, they come to me, I don't call people up and say, sounds like you need a new sponsor, how about me, and, you know, I've said that many times online, and I say that to all of my sponsees. I have, you know, I'm a one-trick pony. I get this one story that I have called Nancy P's Experience, Strength, and Hope. Take it or leave it, buddy girl or buddy boy. And, you know, I tell them, you know, do it or don't do it. It doesn't matter to me if you do it or don't do it. It matters to you. And, you know, some people find that a very attractive message because I don't have too much trouble getting sponsees. But, you know, what I want is to let this stuff happen and to be stand ready at all times to help if I can. But you know, again, from my sponsor. I know who I am and I know who I'm not. And all I can do is give a listen with a ready ear, share my experience if it's pertinent or, you know, or not. And, you know, I can say that, you know, I've had people ask me what I do. Somebody in my town who actually owns the gym that I used to belong to, he goes, have you lost weight? And I said, yeah. He said, what did you do? I said, I shut my mouth and I moved my legs. And that was enough for him. He goes, yep, diet and exercise, you know, that's what it is. And, you know, it wasn't appropriate for me to say. I go to the birthday party every year, and I have family in that, in the L.A. area, and my cousin, I usually stay with her for a couple of days, and she told me this past January when I went, she said that her son, Mike, he's very overweight, and she said he might call you about OA. And I said, okay, and that's all I said. You know, he's
mental
not
reminder.
Call, he hasn't. So, thanks, Nancy. And, you know, I used to get somebody else was sharing about the anxiety. I don't care. People can ask me or not ask me. And that is what I call comprehending the word serenity and knowing peace. And I got there one way and one way only. Say it with me, surrender, surrender, surrender. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Nance. That was Nancy P. from Pennsylvania. And Kathy J., you have the floor. Please tell us where you're calling from.
Kathy J. from Illinois. Hi, everybody.
Go for it.
I'm Kathy J., recovered compulsive overeater. You know, one thing that I've noticed the difference in how to approach someone or to attract someone is believing that they're going to actually recover, not just in the program, because I do. I believe the program creates in us an environment to have a higher power sufficient to remove the desire. And that's what I needed. And I needed people to be honest. And it doesn't mean that I bludgeon them because I've done that in the program. I've been in quite a few years and I've done all the mistakes and always before us have made the mistakes. But the one thing I've learned that works is believing in the person and loving and being helpful. And there isn't a lot of Al-Anon like there is in the other program. And so the family system has a tendency to be pretty tight and entrenched. So approaching a family member, they come to us in the program and we get them in the meetings and we, you know, they come more to us than they did back in the day when this was written. But I spent a lot of time trying to convince people, even though I knew it wasn't the way to do it, I couldn't help it. I was a sick co-compulsive overeater as well. So I need to come from a position of genuine caring and helpfulness. And that only happens when I'm working my program because I'm not naturally that way. I'm going to tell you, I am not naturally happy, joyous, free, loving. Without the program, that wouldn't exist. So, yeah, reading the book and working the steps with my family members and then people in the program, yeah, I needed to have that transformation, that psychic change that created in me that sense of helpfulness. And other people have said, love the person. I didn't know how to love a person. My environment and growing up wasn't like that. And so, yeah, just to be open, my spirit is pretty big because of the program. And so people see something in me and they reveal things. And they do make an opening. And if I'm aware and ready, you know, the program comes through. I let the program do the work. I just let the book do the work, let the OA materials do the work, grab somebody, read 2 pages of the big book, 2 pages of the 12 and 12 and OA. And yeah, but the book gives us the directions on how to do it. It's right in here. You know, don't push people. God, my sisters are dead. I wonder what would have happened if I hadn't been so so codependent.
Gentle reminder.
Yeah, so I made the mistakes. And love and believing in them has made a remarkable difference in the people that I've helped over the years, including my husband. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Kathy J. from Illinois. And we have time for a one-minute share. Who's got a burning desire to take us out today? Press star one.
Marion.
All right. All right, Marion, you're up.
Thank you so much.
1 minute.
Okay, thank you so much, moderator. I just wanted to claim my seat. This is the most awesome meeting, and this is my home meeting, and I'm so thrilled to be recovered and always one bite away, never cured, and I just love everybody and have a beautiful, blessed day. Thank you.
Perfect timing, Marion H. Way to take us out. And thank you to everyone who shared today. We really appreciate everyone being here, and thank you for everyone who did service. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing of this first hour. And the share ID for this morning's awesome meeting that just finished is 22,344. That's today's date is April 15th, 2025, and the share ID is 22,344. And we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Susan F. H. please read page 164 for us?
Thanks, Nancy. This is Susan F. H., a recovered compulsive overeater in Ohio. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.